Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. War is a Racket is a brief but influential anti-war work by Smedley Darlington Butler, a retired United States Marine Corps general and two-time Medal of Honor recipient, first developed from his public lectures in the 1930s. The book argues that modern war is not only a matter of national defense or patriotic duty, but also a commercial system that transfers wealth and risk in deeply unequal ways. Butler writes as a former participant in military campaigns, giving the text an unusual combination of directness, institutional familiarity, and moral reversal. The Warbler Classics annotated edition places Butler alongside Henry David Thoreau and William James, including civil disobedience and the moral equivalent of war, to widen the discussion from war profiteering to conscience, civic resistance, and non-military forms of public purpose. The result is a compact political classic situated at the intersection of military history, political economy, peace studies, and American dissent. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, war framed as a commercial enterprise rather than a public necessity. The central claim of War is a Racket is that war functions as a business arrangement that enriches a limited group while distributing costs across soldiers, families, and taxpayers. Butler does not present war primarily as an abstract moral failure. He describes it as an organized economic pattern. In his view, manufacturers, financiers, shipping interests, and related commercial actors can profit from conflict regardless of whether the wider public gains security or justice. This framing is important because it shifts attention away from official rhetoric and toward material incentives. If war produces predictable financial winners, then public debate must ask who benefits before accepting claims of national necessity. Butler also emphasizes that patriotic language can obscure these incentives by converting private gain into a public duty. His argument is deliberately blunt, but its force comes from connecting battlefield sacrifice to economic reward far from the battlefield. The book, therefore, belongs not only to anti-war literature, but also to critiques of political economy and state power. Secondly, an insider critique shaped by Butler as a decorated Marine, Butler stands apart from many anti-war writers because his critique comes after a long and prominent military career. He served in several United States interventions and became one of the most decorated Marines of his era. This background gives the text a distinctive authority. He is not writing as an outside theorist who never encountered military life, but as someone who had participated in the institutions he later criticized. That does not make every claim beyond dispute, but it changes the rhetorical situation. His condemnation of war profiteering is difficult to dismiss as simple ignorance of military service or personal unwillingness to sacrifice. The work is also notable because Butler turns his record into evidence against the system that honored him. He presents his experience as a basis for disillusionment, suggesting that courage and discipline at the individual level can still be used for questionable political and commercial ends. This tension gives the book much of its enduring power. Admiration for military service is redirected into scrutiny of the purposes that service is made to serve. Thirdly, the unequal distribution of war costs among soldiers and civilians. A major part of Butler's argument is that war imposes costs on people who do not share in its profits. Soldiers face injury, death, trauma, disrupted families, and long-term uncertainty. Civilians pay through taxation, debt, inflation, and the redirection of public resources away from social needs. Butler makes this imbalance central because it exposes the moral structure of the racket he describes. Profit can be concentrated, but suffering is dispersed. This point remains important even when one disagrees with the breadth of his claims, because it asks readers to evaluate war through its actual burdens rather than its slogans. The book also implies that public consent can be manufactured when the full costs are hidden, delayed, or framed as unavoidable sacrifice. By focusing on who pays, Butler broadens the meaning of casualty beyond battlefield death. Economic sacrifice, social dislocation, and political manipulation are part of the same system. This makes the work a practical warning against judging wars only by official aims or military victories. Fourthly, a challenge to patriotic language when it protects private interests. War is a Racket is especially concerned with the way patriotic language can be used to discipline public opinion. Butler does not reject concern for one country or respect for soldiers. Rather, he argues that these sentiments can be exploited to shield economic motives from examination. When war is presented as honor, duty, defense, or civilization, citizens may be less likely to ask whether the conflict serves the public interest. The book, therefore, treats rhetoric as a political instrument. Butler's critique is not simply that some businesses profit during war, but that emotional appeals can make such profit appear incidental, natural, or even noble. This is why the text remains relevant to debates over propaganda, media narratives, and foreign policy justification. It asks readers to distinguish genuine collective defense from mobilized sentiment that benefits private actors. The argument is intentionally accessible rather than academic, which helps explain its durability. Its simplicity allows it to function as a test question for policy. Does the language of patriotism clarify public interest, or does it conceal private advantage? Lastly, companion essays broaden the edition from anti-war protest to civic philosophy. The Warbler Classics annotated edition expands the meaning of Butler's text by placing it beside Thoreau's Civil Disobedience and William James's The Moral Equivalent of War. This editorial choice matters because it connects Butler's economic indictment of war to two broader questions: when should citizens resist state authority, and how can societies cultivate discipline, sacrifice, and public purpose without militarism? Thoreau contributes the tradition of conscientious refusal, emphasizing the responsibility of the individual when law and conscience conflict. James offers a different but related problem. War has historically provided collective intensity and shared service, so peace must develop alternative forms of civic commitment. Together, the essays prevent Butler's argument from remaining only a denunciation of profiteers. They invite readers to think about replacement institutions and ethical action. The result is a more layered anti-war volume. Butler identifies a corrupt incentive structure. Thoreau supplies a language of resistance, and James asks how non-military service might satisfy social needs often claimed by war. In conclusion, War is a Racket is best suited for readers interested in anti-war writing, military history, United States foreign policy, political economy, and the ethics of citizenship. It is also useful for students and general readers who want a short primary text that raises large questions without requiring technical background. Its practical benefit lies in the habit of scrutiny it encourages before accepting a military action as necessary. Readers are prompted to ask who gains financially, who bears the risks, and how public emotion is being directed. Its intellectual benefit is equally clear because it links war to institutions, incentives, rhetoric, and civic responsibility rather than treating conflict only as strategy or diplomacy. Compared with longer books in peace studies or foreign policy criticism, Butler's work stands out for its compression and for the identity of its author. The critique comes from a decorated military insider rather than a career pacifist or academic analyst. This does not make the book a complete theory of war, and its brevity limits detailed historical documentation. However, the Warbler edition strengthens the volume by pairing Butler with Thoreau and James, turning a sharp anti-war pamphlet into a compact anthology of American dissent, conscience, and alternatives to militarized public life. If you would like to support Smedley Darlington Butler, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.